It's good to be here today. If you don't know my name, I'm Colin Lewis. I'm the youth and outreach intern here at Baker Heights Baptist Church, which means I oversee the youth and the outreach, if you couldn't tell by the title. So I'm basically Daniel 2.0. I'm not as cool and I'm not as smart as Daniel, but Ben did assure me that I do lose my wallet and keys as much as he did, so I guess I'm fulfilling the role there. But I'm married to Sophia Lewis, my beautiful wife. We're expecting our first child, Jade Lewis, in December, so next month. We're really excited about that. I graduated from West Liberty University in Wheeling, West Virginia, with a bachelor's degree in athletic training, minoring in exercise physiology, but yet I am here preaching, so God is good. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here at this church at Baker Heights this morning, teaching, bringing God's word, because I love this church. I love the people of this church. This church means a lot to me. I started coming here because I had fallen in love with a beautiful girl, Sophia, who is now my wife. But I didn't realize what this church and the people of this church, what kind of impact they would have on my life. So I'm forever thankful for that. First time I met my father-in-law, he was dressed up as a circus master for VBS. And I was wondering what I had gotten myself into, but no, God has been good and he's given me a good family of in-laws. So it's been awesome. And if you haven't met my family, I have a cheering section back there in the back today. So I'm thankful for them too. But like I said, I've met some incredible people here at this church, some people that have had some lasting impact on my life, and I'm so glad because it's just the beginning, and Lord willing, we can just go from here and keep doing awesome things in the name of Jesus, right? So, and now I get to be involved with the youth of this church, and I'm thankful for that. So I love this church, and it means a lot to me, and in fact, right where I'm standing, I got married here, so there's a lot of stuff that has happened here for me. But I'm thankful for that, and it's only by God's grace. In fact, I want to talk about God's grace today. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, verses 1 through 10. If you don't have a Bible this morning, that's okay. We have Bibles in the back by the sound booth back there. There's plenty of Bibles back there. If you don't want to go grab one, share with your neighbor. This is a good time to get close and share with your neighbor. But make sure you're looking into the Word of God with me today as we go through this short section in Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians is, Paul wrote this book. He wrote it to the church at Ephesus. And this book right here has been so helpful and it's been very amazing to read through. And it's filled with so many great truths. So we're going to just tackle very few, but some awesome stuff today. But I encourage you to read through this book of Ephesians, with your family, with a friend, by yourself, whatever. I encourage you to read through the book. It's 6 chapters. It's very short, but it's very helpful. And I ask that when you do read through it, that you would pray that God would help you see the truth that is in it. So in fact, let's pray right now that God would help us see this truth. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for Baker Heights. We thank you for the people here. We thank you that we can spend time worshiping you, that we can spend time with our focus on you, praising, adoring you. I just pray that that would be the fixation of our eyes and our hearts this morning on your word and what you say, not what I say, but what you say, Lord. So help me to forgive myself as we go through the word this morning. And I pray that each one of us that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would open the eyes of our hearts so we can see beautiful truths in your word, and that we can take those truths, apply them to our lives, and go on from here living for you, Lord. I just ask that in the name of your Son. Amen. All right. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I'm going to read, so follow along with me in your copy of the Bible. It starts off. This is the word of God. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What an amazing section of scripture there. Let's kind of break it down in sections. So my first point today is going to be that you were dead. We're going to focus heavily on verses 1 through 3 here. You were dead. This is all of us. No one is excluded from verses 1 through 3. And if you really listened along, you would really want to be excluded from verses 1 through 3, as there's some not nice things that are said. Either you were dead or currently are dead. There's two options there. You were dead or you are currently dead. Not living, not alive, but dead in your trespasses and sins, verse 1 says. It also says that we once walked following the course of this world. So we had turned our backs on God, following the world, and what they're saying, and not what God is saying. So we once did that. We also once followed the enemy, Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So we once followed the enemy as well. So we were dead. We followed the world. We followed the enemy. We were living for our own passions, it says. Lived in the passions of our flesh. We were carrying out the desires of our body and mind. And this last part here, we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's scary. See, the beautiful thing, though, in those verses 1 through 3 is that the word were is used. That's an awesome word. You should come to love that word, were. This is a past tense word, so means you once were, if you were in Christ. So just think of how you were before you knew Jesus. But without Jesus, we are still those things. So like I said in the beginning, were or are. Those are the two options there. Without Christ, verses 1 through 3 are still applied. We just went through Psalm 16 on Sunday night, and David in that psalm, verse 2, says that apart from God, he has no good. He recognized that we don't have any good apart from God. And this is a prime example right here in these verses. There is nothing good about us apart from God. So we either were or we are. That's the first point. You were dead, though. Let's continue on. Let's get some good news, right? Verses 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord for that. Awesome. But God, of a newfound love for that conjunction, because it means that it compares ideas that contrast. So you can see that as it starts off in verse 4. God is rich in mercy. God loves us with a great love, and God is gracious. And notice that he's those things when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Paul explains it differently when he writes a book to the Romans. The book title is called Romans, in case you didn't know. Romans 5 through 10, he explains that we were enemies of God. That we were at enmity with God. We wanted nothing to do with him. Yet God did something so amazing for us. God made us alive together with Christ. Right? That's what it says in verse 5 here. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing. If verses 1 through 3 are explaining my life before God, then why in the world would he do such a great thing for us? Why would he do that? That's the question that really got me when I was a freshman in college. I was thinking, why would he do this for me? And since he has done this for me, I owe him everything. So here I stand. I was an enemy. Enemies don't even look at each other, let alone take from death to life. And that's what God did for us, right? I was an enemy with God. You were an enemy with God. We were enemies of God, but he made us alive together with Christ. How did he do it? What does this look like? So God, the God of the universe, the God that created everything, everyone, he sent his son, or came down in the form of a man named Jesus, who we talk about. Jesus lived a perfect life, never sinned once, never did anything wrong, and God put him on the cross. Isaiah 53:10 says, it was the will of the Lord to crush his son. If you ever just want to weep uncontrollably, go read Isaiah 53 and see what God has done for us. But God put him on the cross. He took our sin, our shame, our guilt. He was on the cross. He nailed it to the cross. He canceled the record of debt that we owed, because the payment of sin is death, right? We read that in Romans. So he took all that, nailing it to the cross and banishing it forevermore. That's Colossians 2. But it didn't end there, so we can't end at the cross. The cross is very important, but without the resurrection, the cross means nothing. So we have to keep going. And rising on the third day, he showed that God's wrath was satisfied. And it's gone. That's crazy to think about. And that right there is being rich in mercy. That right there is loving us with a great love. That right there is the definition of grace. So again, I look back to verses 1 through 3, and I'm still puzzled. I don't deserve any of this sacrificial love that has been given to me. What have I done to deserve this? That's the question I'm still asking myself. But it's by grace that we have been saved. We didn't do anything to deserve it. It was only the grace of God and his blood that was shed for us that allowed us to have salvation. Then we keep going, verse 6. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So Christ died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And then we see in Acts, he ascends, and now he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So he's in heaven. And like him, we too will be resurrected and glorified in the presence of God. If you are in Christ, if you have repented and believed in him, if you admit that you're a sinner, as we all are. We see this in Romans 8:17, where it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So one day, if you believe in God, you will spend eternity in his presence, which is amazing. Psalm 16 again describes that in the presence of God there is a fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That is something that we as humans can't even comprehend what that's like, but yet it's promised to those who believe. And like I said on Sunday night, show me something better than that, show me a better deal than that, and I will drop all of this right now, and I will stop being a follower of Christ, and I will follow whatever that thing is. But you can't, because there is nothing better than that, right? So we see that we were dead. The second point is, but God did something amazing for us, right? And then we'll move on to the third point, is so that. Let me read verses 7 through 10 again. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches, what a word, can't be measured, the riches of his grace cannot be measured. The immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should go and walk in them. So God gave us salvation through Christ for what? he's going to tell us here, and we're going to focus more on that, but let's hit some things. Mainly, God gave us salvation through his son, Jesus, for himself. God gave us this salvation to glorify God. So this is for God. And hopefully we can get to that and we can see it through these verses, but it's all throughout the Bible, this this concept that God is for God. God did this to show his glory. And I remember thinking just for a split second, very selfish of God to do that, right? That he's for himself. Man, how selfish. And then I read verses 1 through 10 again, and I'm like, that's not selfish at all. He took me from death to life, and that I get to one day, if I believe in him, spend eternity in his presence. That's not selfish at all. Not at all. So we reread that passage, and we see it's not. We read verse 7 again, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So you see that those two words, so that, are the changing, are the turn to show why he has done this amazing thing for us. And it's absolutely amazing. So, and then we keep going. Let's focus on some other things real quick. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. So how are we saved? Well, in short, it's by grace alone, nothing else, right? It goes on to explain it's not by our works. So it's by grace alone that we're saved. God's grace, the gift that he had given in his son, that he put him on the cross, he rose again, right? That's the grace alone, through our faith alone. So it's by grace alone, through faith alone, and it can be in nothing but Christ alone, right? So we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and there's nothing else to it, that's it. There's no complicated formula or anything else that would get us there. And certainly it's not by our own works. Verse 9, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Plain and clear, right? You can't do it. You will not be able to do it. So we have a problem, I think especially in America, in our churches, in the people of America, that explain that if I go to church, I will be saved. If I just show up, if I just, you know, blend in, I sit in the back row, I can do whatever. Not saying that sitting in the back row is a bad thing, but... So we need to stop acting like going to church is going to save us, because it's not going to save us, right? We need to stop acting like doing good for others will get you to spend eternity in the presence of God. It's not how it works. It's not by works. You can't be done that way. Apart from Christ, we will end up nowhere but hell, right? It's Christ that has done the work for us. We can't boast. This isn't a boasting thing, because we didn't do anything to deserve it. Salvation and how we obtained it is only the gift of God. So we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. And let me tell you, do not ever forget that beautiful truth. Let that be the first things that you say in your head when you wake up in the morning. I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ. So, such a beautiful thing. It cannot be a result of works, because you, me, us, are no match for the power of sin, and we are no match against God's wrath, right? We couldn't have done it. That is why the sin of the world had to be placed on God and dealt with for us, because we can't do it on our own, and we have no grounds for boasting in anything except boasting in the Lord. Last week, Ben talked about that in 1 Corinthians 1, right? Verse 31, that we may not boast in anything but the Lord. So let that be our boast. Verse 10, let me reread it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. Whenever I think of that word, I don't know why, but the thing that comes to my mind is one of those... little bottles with the boat inside of it, and a little man trying to put it together in there with his tweezers. I don't know why. That's what it comes to my mind when I think of workmanship. But we were created by God. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus, it says. And like I have stated over and over again, apart from him, we are nothing, and we have nothing if we do not have Christ. We often sing a song here titled, All I Have is Christ. Let that ring true for us in our lives. And then it says in verse 10 that we are created for good works. So created in Christ Jesus for good works. So don't get confused here. These good works are for God's glory and that alone. So we're getting back to the why of why he had done this. And these good works, you can see, if you go through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see they are exemplified by Christ and what how he lived on this earth and what he did. There's many verses in the Bible that are a call to us to imitate his life. I mean, that's what we want to be doing, right? We want to become more like Christ every day. It's called sanctification, and we want that. So we look to him as our guide, as our example for these good works. God prepared them beforehand, so he did this by sending his son to die on the cross so that we too can do these works or bear fruit. And we have a responsibility to do these. It's called out here. It's called many different places. And we're wondering, what are they? Well, that's a whole sermon in itself. But following the commands of Scripture, loving one another, caring for the poor, sharing the gospel with the lost, and in this time of Thanksgiving, being patient with your family members around the table or whenever they come in, right? That's always a hard thing to do, I think. But these are things that we are supposed to be doing. This is what we've been created for, to point all glory, all honor, all praise back to our Creator. A commentator, when I was studying for this, pointing to the last part where it says that we should walk in them, he says that when something has the love of a person's heart, he or she is walking in it. I thought that was really good. So let our desire, let our love be captivated by God, that we are walking in these good works. So we went through this scripture, and you could say so many more things about it. But as I conclude, I want us to think about a few things. And I know I'm being very repetitive, but that's okay, because as the youth will tell you, repetition shows importance. You could say the Bible is pretty repetitive. But the thing that we need to think on now is we don't need to forget what we have been saved from. We cannot forget that, because you were dead. If you don't believe today that in this message, in the gospel, you are dead. That's a current, present state. But for those of us that believe, we have that beautiful word, were, which is past tense, which means we are no longer dead. We're made alive in Christ. Don't ever forget what you have been saved from. You've been saved from following the course of this world. You've been saved from the enemy. You've been saved from being a child of wrath. I mean, those are good things to be saved from. So don't forget that. Don't ever let that slip out of your mind. When you're discouraged, don't ever forget what God has done in our lives, the amazing thing he's done for us. And then we see the next thing. God brought us from death to life because of his great love, and we can never outgrow that message. No matter how mature you get, you will fall on your knees thanking God for his great love. I feel like the more that I grow closer to God, the more I am just awestruck by the love that he has had or given to us, right, through his son. So we can't ever outgrow that message. We can't ever outgrow the gospel. Your need for the gospel is not a one-time thing. It is a daily thing that you need to focus on. We have to realize what it was for, right? We know that God did this to glorify himself. This is for God's glory. It's not selfish. We saw that, right? God did this to display his glory, and the cool thing is he lets his workmanship be a part of it. That's us. We play a part in bringing glory back to God. When we sang praises to God earlier, we're glorifying him. when we pray, when we sit under the teaching of his word, when we go out and do these things, when we walk in these good works, we are showing glory back to God, not to ourselves. We're not pointing at ourselves saying, look what I have done, look what I can do. It's not it. If that ever enters into your mind, kill that desire within 5 seconds or it will grow into a pride. We don't do it for us. The works aren't ours. God prepared them beforehand, so they're his works that we are walking in for his glory. So that's the challenge, that we go and we walk in these good works that God has prepared for us, that we will not forget what we've been saved from, and that we will fall at the feet of Jesus, praising and honoring him for what he has done for us. So if you're here today and what I've been saying, you're not understanding. That's okay, because I'm a foolish speaker, so just read the words. But if you don't understand the words in the Bible, come talk to Pastor. Come talk to one of us. We would love to explain this. This message, the gospel, is eternity-changing, life-changing, transformation. You do a whole 180 when you are faced with this message. And like I said, we are either were dead or we are dead. So if you're thinking on this, today is the day to make a decision. Today is the day to fall under these words and see how glorious Christ is and want nothing but him. So if you're here today and that is true, Pastor will be down here. You can come talk to him. There's seats in the front if you need to. If you need prayer for anything, whatever it may be, you can come and speak. But let me pray for us, and then we'll sing our last song together. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, this great love that you have loved us with. We thank you for your grace. It's only by your grace that we are even here. Let us not think that we have done anything great to earn this salvation, but it is only by grace through faith in Christ that we have gotten this. And let us point all this glory, all this honor, all the praise back to you. Let us lift high your name and none other, because there is none like you. There is not one like you, Lord. You are the King of Kings. So let us praise you, and let us go forth from here walking in these good works that you have prepared beforehand for us, so that we may bring glory back to your name. We love you, Lord, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Please stand and we'll continue in song.